Welcome to the Dream Home Movement. This is your weekly dose of dream home inspiration, bringing you clever hacks and tips from the very best local experts with your hosts, Tara and Joe. Welcome to the Dream Home Movement. I'm Joe Violetta from Violetta Finance. As always, I'm joined in the studio by the fabulous Tara Vandalite from Building Dreams Mornington Peninsula. Hey, how you doing?
Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for that lovely introduction, Joe.
Oh, you're very welcome. Hey, tonight we're talking about something a little bit different to our usual sort of subject matter.
A little bit interesting.
Very interesting. We are going to chat about feng shui. So we're going to explore how to harmonize your home and create good fortune and prosperity with feng shui Fran Gleason. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Tara.
Thank you so much for coming in tonight.
My pleasure.
This is not our area of expertise at all, is it?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
We reached out to Fran and said, you need to help us.
Get the experts.
We're a bit lost when it comes to this, so very much looking forward to chatting with you later on the show. Feng Shui. And as usual, we've got our regular segments. We've got our finance segment with Carl and the property geek out with Tara.
Yay. Take me home tonight. I just want to show you the truth. Light me up and make me feel all right. Because baby, we are always shining bright.
Welcome back. We are here with a feng shui expert, Fran Gleason. Now, Fran is a professional accredited feng shui practitioner, an author, speaker, and teacher. She has over the last 17 years helped thousands of clients to unblock energy in their buildings so they can experience major shifts from feeling confused, unfulfilled, or lacking in energy, to igniting their spirit and living in harmony and prosperity. That sounds good, doesn't it, Tara? Living in harmony and prosperity.
There are a lot of confused buildings out there, aren't there, Fran?
Yes.
Just from a design point of view, not even from a feng shui point of view, but, yeah, definitely there's a lot of places that don't feel great.
Mm. Yes. Architecturally, what often happens is that they have blockages in them from their design. Yeah. And even though I love architecture myself, I can see sometimes that the principles of feng shui could have helped.
Yeah.
Because what we're after is flow. And when a building has some designs that don't contribute to the flow, that means that the people living in those homes are not going to feel so good.
Right, and we need that for a dream home. We need to feel good in our home, especially when we work so hard. You want to come home to somewhere that's your oasis. Now, Fran, I'll be honest, I'm pretty naive when it comes to the practice of feng shui. Tara, you're definitely not an expert either.
No, not at all.
Curious as well. So, can you explain for us and for anyone listening who's a bit unsure, what actually is feng shui?
Okay. What it is, it's the relationship we have with our home. And it works on a fundamental principle that if we are happy in our environment, then we have a positive attitude to life. We feel more comfortable, more relaxed. And then that enables us to go out and take action to fulfill our own dreams and goals.
Okay.
And do big things.
Oh my God, that's how I feel about homes, full stop.
Well, there's a lot of common sense. It's a combination of time and space, common sense, architecture, interior design. It's even more town planners are getting involved in it as
well.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Because what we're trying to do is to create the very best flow of what we call life force energy or chi. mm-hmm. in a building or in a town, and when it's flowing the way it wants to flow, then we feel good
mm-hmm.
and our life changes as a result. But when it's blocked, that's when problems happen.
Right. Okay. So it helps us to allow chi to flow and not to be blocked. Now, what inspired you to become a feng shui practitioner?
Okay. Well, I first discovered it in the 1990s.
Okay.
I'd just bought a home. I'd separated from my husband. I'd bought a home with my two children, who were about 10 and 12 at the time. And we didn't have much money. I didn't have a lot of confidence. But one day I was listening to the radio and I heard a Chinese master being interviewed. And he was talking about homes in ways I had never heard anyone speak before. And I'd always loved, I've always been a lover of homes and spaces, and I always knew that if you change the way you organise the furniture, for example, you can change the way people behave.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever I went, be it an office or one of my own homes, then I would set about making them the way I wanted them to be, beautiful and artistic. But anyway, this master was talking about things like the front door and how important the front door was for letting in wealth. And then what would stop that wealth, and I realised that my front door was stopping wealth because it was tiny and inset and dark and not enough. And so I was just totally intrigued, totally hooked, and I will never forget that moment. And I went on and studied it more and studied it properly, and I didn't even know there was such a thing as a feng shui consultant then. And never thought I would be one, and it just grew.
I found you.
I changed. By the way, I changed my own front door. I renovated when I had some money. My mother lent me some money.
Yes.
And I made it bigger and changed its angle, which is an advanced thing, and then it just opened up and the energy noticeably changed, and so did our lives.
Wow.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
So we know that the broad benefits are allowing chi to flow and unblocking it. What are some of the benefits that you've personally experienced and maybe some of your clients have experienced? So just drilling down on some more specific benefits.
Generally speaking, the first thing that happens is a greater sense of peace in the home and a sense of comfort and satisfaction. A sense that I'm connected to my home and therefore I'm connected to the people in the home, greater ability to achieve my goals, feel more productive, sleep better, generally feel happier. Often some of my clients are able to get the job they wanted or improve their relationships. It's even related to fertility.
Okay.
And more energy, joy, contentment, love.
I'll take all of that. That sounds fabulous.
Really just all aspects of life. It can help improve all aspects
of
life.
And I know this about homes. I really do. I know this about homes. The way you where you live and where you get ready in the morning and it affects your soul. It affects everything, you know.
It does.
And it affects your confidence, and it's not just the practicalities of where things are, it's how the place makes you feel. I mean, it's interesting you talk about front doors. I only finally so, you know, in my house renovation wonderland, I live on building sites quite a lot, and I've only just done the front door, the front entry. I can't tell you how much better I feel about the entire house.
Yes. Well, the front entrance is the most important part of the home.
Yeah.
Because what we say is, first of all, if there's an area outside the front door that is open, that allows qi to gather. Qi, feng shui, however you pronounce it, and they're both correct, is translated from Chinese to mean wind and water. So we say that qi, vital energy, comes in on the wind and then it's held by water. And we want it to be held outside in what we call the Ming Tang, before it enters our home and meanders around. Mm-hmm. And I choose the word meander because that's how qi likes to move.
Yeah.
If it moves too quickly, then that can be a problem. If mm-hmm. it moves too slowly, then it becomes stagnant, and that's also problematic.
Mm. So we just want it to be able to just hang out in the house, dance exactly. around a bit.
And get around with the help of the layout and the furniture and the architecture.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, for example, the more curved edges you have on things, mm-hmm. The more easily it can move and meander. And if it reaches a blockage, which might be a sharp corner,
yes.
then it's thrown off course.
Right.
And it may not reach some parts of the room because when it's thrown off course, it never gets back to that part of the room, which can explain why sometimes we have dead corners
yeah.
or dead parts of yeah. a room, or even whole rooms where the family just don't like going
yeah.
into,
yeah.
but we don't really know why.
Right.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
It does, yeah, because Eva's complained of her yeah. room being really cold before. I don't know if that's...
That could have something to do with it.
Yeah. I know our spare room, no one wants to go in.
And this is
there.
My experience with houses as well. There's always a room that's not quite up to scratch. Mm. And, yeah, you can change it, but it's kind of interesting that there's sort of a natural sort of, yeah, like things need to be in certain places, don't they? Yeah.
Well, there's a number of reasons why a room might not be so attractive. It could be because qi's not getting in.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have heard of the front door shouldn't line up with the back door because qi will rush through too quickly and go out the back.
See, I kind of like that aesthetically, but it looks... I actually right through it.
Yes,
yeah.
I know, and a lot of modern architecture will do that. Mm. But unfortunately, what that can mean is that some of the rooms off the hallways don't get the qi.
Mm.
And so that's why they feel a little bit stagnant. But we can improve them ourselves with good lighting, good fresh air, things in the room that are moving, like that somehow make movement, or music, upbeat colours, furniture that is balanced, and... things that we love. Because what's the name of the book? We should only have things in our home that give us joy.
Oh, I love Changing that. Magic of Tidying
yes.
Up. I've read it and I'm a devotee of the vertical folding technique.
Well, that principle is part of feng shui, because if you hang on to things that someone might have given you and you don't like, well, then it's going to drain your energy. So everything is about energy and what makes it upbeat or drains it. And there's a whole lot of guiding principles we use to help it move, to recognize in a home what's making it block. And the blockages could come from physical things like your furniture or the architecture, but it can also come from intangible qi that we calculate. And it's based on when the home was built and it's facing compass direction.
Ah, that's very fascinating.
And every home is different. Every home, because every home has different people in it. And we obviously, if feng shui is about you and your environment, then we match the home to you to see to what extent it is in sync with you.
That's fascinating.
What are some of the myths about feng shui?
Okay, well, when I first started practicing, it wasn't so very well known, and now it's much more mainstream. But the problem is, with it becoming more mainstream, a lot of myths have been attached to it, a lot of misunderstandings. So one of them is that it's not lots of little trinkets all around the house. It's not lots of little red things all around the house. When I do feng shui, I will suggest certain coloured, beautiful ornaments rather than trinkets to help with the balancing. And I never try to interfere with someone's preferred aesthetic style.
Yep.
So it's subtle. It's much more subtle. It's not about corners, the wealth corner or the or the relationship corner. It's not really about corners anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most people know about, and that was a modern form of feng shui. It does spring from one genuine layer of feng shui, but it's a modern form that is very static. It was invented actually by a Buddhist monk, believe it or not, in the US in the 70s, and it if it worked, then everybody would be wealthy who activated their so-called wealth corner. There are wealth areas of our home, but every home is different and there's more than one, but you know, it's not the same for everybody.
Very interesting.
That's one myth. Two myths. Another one is it's not a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It won't cure all your problems. It won't win Tats Lotto. It won't zap your fat or get rid of your wrinkles.
Oh, why not?
and it's not about instant overnight luck.
Okay.
I like to say it's more a process of gradual serendipity. It's a gradual process of you realizing your life is improving and, hey, nothing's gone really wrong for a while.
Mm.
Or if it did, I coped with it so much better. Because when we have good feng shui, then we feel more supported and we just flow with life better.
Oh, I like that. So it's not... you know, you change your door or you change whatever in your house, and the next day you wake up and you're like, I'm rich, I'm gorgeous, I'm fabulous. It's more like a slow creeping,
Look, I have to say, some of my clients have had immediate results.
Right, okay.
That's less common than we would think.
Now, we've already covered quite a few tips around how we can harmonize our home, having those rounded edges for example. What are some of your best tips for people to use to harmonize their home?
Well, I think everybody knows about clutter. Decluttering is majorly important.
Okay.
Because when we have clutter, then chi can't move through it. And I think when I first realized how I was a clutterer, by the way.
Oh, really? Interesting.
When I first realized that clutter is stale energy, that's when it clicked with me why I shouldn't have it. Otherwise, up until that point, I couldn't see the point. But once I realized it was stopping chi from moving, then of course I went crazy and now I hate it. In fact, I have trouble going into houses that are full of clutter because I feel physically sick.
Wow.
So that's one thing. And if someone's listening and they think, oh, I've got so much and it's too hard to do, I always suggest just starting with one drawer. And often when we clear one drawer, we feel good. And then we move on and do another one and another one. And gradually our sense of energy changes and feels lighter, and that gives us more energy to do more. But it's hard. I recognize that it's hard. It's quite emotional sometimes. And you have to have experienced it to know. If you've done it in the past, you'll remember how good you felt. But it is something that's always going to be there. You have to always keep coming back to it.
Yep.
So that's sort of like a commitment.
So declutter.
Yes. The curved edges is majorly important. It's like the X factor.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So the more curved edges you have in a room, the better it's going to look and feel. That includes things like lampshades, rugs, tables. You can have something that's square and rectangular, but the edges should be curved.
Okay.
Grouping, like sometimes people will have a whole lot of things all lined up on a mantelpiece, and that creates a cluttered look. It's much better if they are grouped. So grouping things, especially in odd numbers, this is a thing that all interior designers
do. They do the three or the five, don't they?
Yeah. Because to our brains, we cope better with odd numbers. We somehow feel that they're more reliable than even numbers. The position of the kitchen's really important, actually.
Yeah,
because to the Chinese, the kitchen is, well, to everybody really, the kitchen is where the family's health is produced, and so keeping it shiny, clean, getting rid of any grease buildup is also a form of clutter. Keeping all four burners used frequently will keep the flow. It's all about flow. Don't just, you know, use two instead of the four or five. The position of the stove is really important.
Oh, tell me.
Well, yeah. I can only make it general. The position of the stove, it's better if it's not in the compass direction that belongs to your Chinese animal.
Oh, wow.
Because then you can feel drained.
Oh, I understand.
The bedroom is important too, because that's where we're refreshed. The idea is to have the bed head against the solid wall and try to have the right, if you stand at the end of the bed and look at the bed head, then try to have the right-hand side slightly more active than the left-hand side. And by that you can have something taller on it, or maybe a picture on the wall on the right-hand side and not the left-hand side, because that creates what we call the ideal balance.
Yeah. Get a flow.
And one little interesting thing is that if your bedside table is taller than your mattress, it can cause neck problems.
Is that true?
Ah.
That's very fascinating.
Because when we sleep,
the
edges of the table can create what we call a sha qi.
Yeah.
Qi rushing too quickly to our necks as we lie on the pillow.
Oh.
So there's lots of things called sha qi which can mean that qi rushes too quickly.
That's fascinating.
We used to have a really low bed, and our bedside table was actually higher.
I know, a lot of this is so extensive.
I had chronic neck pain, and we've got a new bed, and I still have neck pain, but not as severe as it was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
It's very instinctive, and it's just
odd.
Design,
it's odd having the bedside table higher than the bed.
I think so. It just doesn't feel nice.
Yeah.
That's what people do, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the old sort of more classical style layouts. Yeah. That's fascinating. So, am I right in assuming that we have different sort of layouts? So, what feng shui would suit one person, if someone else was to move in the house, they would need to have it readjusted for them. Is that how it works?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
There are general principles that apply to everybody.
Yep.
But and that includes things like the couch should be against a solid wall. Mm. We always want the front entrance to be welcoming, good, you know, sort of warm light, not super strong. Those sort of things are always going to be the case. But to match a home to the person, I take their birthday, and that gives them what we call a guan number. And that guan number is actually an element. And so when I match the person to the home, I'm looking to see whether the home faces in a direction that matches the person, and that that in the intangible energies that they're supported. Don't ask me to go on about that. It's too complicated to explain. But it's a whole theory that has been observed for thousands of years to come up with reasons why we do or we don't do what we do in home.
Very fascinating.
Wow, this is just, it's really fascinating, isn't it? We're going to take a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to look at some of the common mistakes that people make when they're designing or decorating their home when it comes to feng shui. And also, if we're buying a property, what should we be looking for? So all of that coming up next.
Take me home tonight. I just want to show you the truth. Light me up and make me feel all right. Because, baby, we are always shining bright.
Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement, everyone. It's Tara here, and we are onto a very interesting subject today, which is feng shui, and we have fabulous Fran here to tell us all about it because she is the expert on the subject. So back from our conversation that we were having a little bit earlier, Fran, if you could tell me, what are some common mistakes you see? What do people get wrong when it comes to feng shui in Western environment?
Nothing's right or wrong. I prefer perhaps hindering.
Yeah.
sometimes people's hallways are full of shoes, coats, bags dropped there the minute you walk in the door. And that's sending a message, because our homes tell a story.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that a home shouldn't be full of normal everyday things, but if that's a common practice, it can be, it's like saying dump your rubbish here in our house.
Ah, very interesting.
Because the entrance should be welcoming. The entrance should reflect who the family is. So if you want your hall, your entrance to tell the world about your family, then you'll put things there that represent you and your family. It might be photos, it might be art done, it might be things that represent your beliefs, your sense of integrity, your principles, your, you know, your talents. Okay, so that's one thing that I see, you know, often that I need to comment on. The other thing is that if a home tells a story, sometimes we don't realise what story the home is telling.
Oh.
So that is told in the way we arrange our furniture. The furniture might be arranged so that it doesn't actually help communication. It might hinder it. So your chairs, for example, might be all lined up in a row because the feature is the TV. And so people are sitting in the chairs looking at the TV without necessarily seeing the other family members. But if the chairs are lined up so that they're side on to couches, then that means that we're much more relaxed when we speak to each other, when we communicate. If there's conflict in the home and there are things in the room that can contribute to it, like spiky plants or aggressive looking posters or artwork that can contribute. And sometimes we might say we want something and then put something in the house that's the exact opposite. So we might say, well, we want our relationship to be good. And one couple I can think of had an image of an iceberg over their bed.
Oh, that's not very nice.
So, no, they didn't realise the symbolism. So it's, I'm talking about symbolism here. Another couple had, they kept the husband's knife collection under the bed.
Oh, goodness, why would you do that?
I have no idea. Then you could have photos that are arranged so that people are looking away from each other instead of looking at each other, or photos of people that give you a negative feeling. We work unconsciously, and our exterior environment will reflect what's going on in our inner environment. So if it's a lovely, warm, loving relationship between the family members, that will be reflected in the way the furniture is arranged and in the colours and what's on the walls. One situation I can think of is that the mother, the wife, there was a husband, three boys and a wife, and the family was set up more or less to support all the males in the family. So it was quite masculine, and the decor needed bit softening, more what we call yin. Another one is alignment of furniture. If things are aligned, then so are we. So it could just be a matter of aligning a chair with the side of something else. Hallways can sometimes have too much furniture in them, and that can – the hallways are really important because they allow – they're like a river taking us from one part of the home to the other. And if there's a sense of too much furniture, particularly too much tall furniture, that can make us feel overwhelmed and – a feeling as though we have too much to do and we can't get it all done. That also applies if we're sitting at our desk in our office. If we've got a lot of tall furniture around us, it can contribute to how despairing we might feel at how much work we've got to do.
Lots
of things on the floor can make us feel bogged down. Things that are kept in really high cupboards can make us feel like life is hard because we have to reach up high to get to things.
Yeah.
It's all It's all to do with the design of the home that then we choose. We choose that home. Mm. We can somehow, we, on some very inner level, we vibrate with it.
Mm.
And then it continues ways that we would have already had before we moved in.
That's very fascinating. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it sounds very sort of instinctive as well. You know, it's just how it makes you feel, isn't it? It's
Yeah, but often we don't realise that our surroundings are contributing to
How we feel.
To how we feel.
Yeah, but now that you pointed out, I can see it. So we're going to ask you one of our signature questions that we ask all our guests. And it's an interesting one because the answers always seem to be not about how many bedrooms or bathrooms. It's more about the feeling. So our signature question is, what's the term dream home mean to you?
I have just bought a home.
Ooh.
And what I was looking for was a feeling that people in that home had loved each other. So I mean, Louise Hay says she only wanted to buy a home where she knew people had been in love. And so when I found my home, I fell in love with it too. And it was a feeling that of exactly that, that this was a home that had been lived in by happy families. Of course, I used my own training to look at it from a feng shui perspective. And this home has actually a mountain behind it, which is really important. It's a lovely curvy mountain, which I know is a shape that is conducive to power and longevity. And then I'm looking at the houses around it and how well they support my home so that I'll feel supported, because the exterior is just as important as the interior. And then I look to see how well the rooms flow from one to the other. And one, it really, if I say nothing else, it's that the centre of the home needs to be open, because if the centre is cramped, the whole house feels tense.
Is that?
And I've actually lived in a lot of homes. I was a house sitter for quite a while, and I've lived in some very big homes, and the very big homes, if they had a centre that was cramped or hemmed in, the whole house felt small. It felt like there's not enough room. So that, I'd say to people, look for a lovely wide entrance. Look to make sure the front door matches the size of the house, because that's balance. Look for a lovely hallway. You don't want to step straight into a room. You want to have a hallway where chi can gather, an open center, and then try and avoid that front door, back door lining up. If you can't, you can put things along the way, like artwork or small tables with lovely things on them, and that would slow chi down. And that the kitchen, you don't want to be able to see the kitchen from the moment you step in the door. That can mean that food is super, super important and people can put on weight. You don't want the toilet to be in the centre. You don't want stairs to be in the centre. You want...
What about laundry?
Laundries, well, yeah. When people often call me in when they're looking at a home before they buy to make sure that the laundry and the toilet are in areas where we might assess them to be to have negative invisible energy. And so those areas we want to wash away the negative energy by having the laundries there. And we want, when I check a house, I want to see if the wealth areas are in an area where we spend a lot of time. Because when we spend a lot of time in a space, in a particular area of the home, that activates the energies, whether they're good or bad. So we want to make sure that we're activating good energies by spending time there, and we're putting the negative energies in the down the toilet.
That's very, very fascinating. That's some really, really interesting points that I'm going to take away with me. So, Fran, if people want to use you as their feng shui consultant, how can they find you?
I have a website.
Yes.
www.fengshuifran.com.
Fengshuifran.com, yeah.
Is there an AU on the end?
Oh,
just do a search for me, Feng Shui Fran.
Feng Shui Fran.
Or my phone number?
Yes, give it out.
0437 072 027. I can be emailed or contacted through the website or by phone.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That was full of information that we're going to really pour over and enjoy when we organise the podcast very soon.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Again, we'll be sharing Fran's details in Facebook as well so that you can help find her that way. And after the break, we're going to do our finance section and Market Watch.
Yay. Looking forward to it.
Oops.
Oh, Property Geek.
Yeah. Property Geek.
We changed the name of that segment this season, so we're just getting used to it, aren't we?
Used to it, yeah. We certainly are.
We'll get there. Take me home tonight. I just want to show you the truth.
Light me up and make me feel all right. Because, baby, we are... Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement, everyone. It's Tara here, and I have the lovely Jo, who is going to do the finance segment for us today. Jo.
I am. I'm honoured. Thanks for having me.
who has who?
So the finance segment.
Yes.
Carl and I, so Carl is my husband and he is the co-founder of Violetta Finance with me. And we recently wrote an article for Peninsula Kids magazine. We're the finance contributors for that magazine. We share a byline. And I wanted to share some of the insights from that article because we did a bit of research for it. And by the way, Peninsula Kids, you can grab it for free.
It's a great magazine. If you're down this end of the world and you go past it, you need to grab it because it's got all the great information if you've got little kids. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful magazine as well. Like, it looks gorgeous. So you can grab a hold it in your hands.
It's amazing that it's for free, actually, isn't it?
I know.
It's a bit of a treat.
Let's not say that too much because we don't want them to
stop paying for it. Yeah, I know.
But yeah, you can pick it up from. I picked it up from the station, but it's. Mm. I mean, they've got them at the Lollipops playground, and they're just everywhere,
surgery, the whole lot,
all around. Or if you're not local to the peninsula, you can grab an online version, just Google Peninsula Kids magazine. Anyway, so we're the finance contributors for that magazine, and the article that we published in this latest issue, which is the winter issue for 2018, is Family Money Mistakes and How to Fix Them. Mm. So we actually went and spoke to some money experts.
Ooh.
Yeah, we spoke to an accountant, a financial advisor, and Carl spoke to himself. And we just asked, what are the most common mistakes that you see families making when it comes to money?
Yep.
And how can they avoid them or fix them? Mm. And so I'll share some of the mistakes quickly. Mm. But if you want more information, you can find the article. So the accountant, Sam Keats, who's been on the show before.
Yes, she has.
A couple of times.
Absolutely.
She was one of the brave souls that came along for the Global Money Week kids interview.
Extravaganza.
And so one of the mistakes was people not keeping proper records. And so,
it's easy to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And she said, look, it might seem like a bit of a hassle, but it is really important to keep those records of work-related expenses so you can claim them at tax time, and you can't claim them without the receipts. So the financial advisor... the mistakes that he spoke about were not investing as soon as possible or consistently.
Yeah.
So that can go for, shares, but also property investment as well.
That's a good point.
He said it's definitely something worth having a look at early and getting some advice around. And also, so Carl, the biggest mistakes that he saw, and these are really related to Dream Homes because he's a mortgage broker, were people not having the right structure for their genuine savings.
Ooh.
Yeah, so when you apply for a home loan, particularly if the loan is more than 80% of the property's value, you may need to prove to the bank that you have a satisfactory amount of savings, and this is called genuine savings, but often it's not structured correctly, so then the bank can't.
I understand.
Yeah. So it's important just to get some advice around how to structure that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also just having large credit card debt and car loan debts can really make it tricky to get a home loan. But he talks about how to solve those problems. So it's it's not the end of the world. Yeah. There is a way to fix it.
Yeah.
Common money mistakes and how to fix them, definitely worth reading, and I think it will give people hope.
Yeah, I really like the fact that you did that article because you are coming into contact with people, so many different sort of people with all these same sort of things that crop up. And I think it's really great that you've done this article because it's a bit empowering because we all do like to put our heads in the sand sometimes, don't we?
Oh, money
and you're not alone.
It can feel scary, but if you just sort of, you know, put your big girl pants
on.
And just deal with it. Then life will be a lot more harmonious. Now, Tara, you're presenting our Property Geek Out
property
segment.
Geek Out, why not? Here we go. I'm going to be talking about volume builders today because we talk a lot about custom designs. I mean, mainly what you see featured on the Mornington Peninsula is custom stuff, isn't it? Because people are building their ultimate dream home.
Yes.
But I'm going to talk about volume builders just because you shouldn't necessarily write them off. They might be a really good solution for you.
Yeah. So can you give, for people that aren't familiar,
with
what
the
are
term
some
volume builders? Yeah. I'm talking about the Metricons, the Henleys, boutique homes. Builders who build in volume, they build a lot of the same house. And look, there's pluses and then minuses to both scenarios with custom and volume. But there's, look, some things to consider about volume building are that some of the pluses, it is generally more affordable.
Yeah.
It really is. If you've got the right block for it, which you want a pretty flat block, they're quite strict on the amount of slope that they'll allow on a block. Yeah,
okay.
So it's quite restrictive. It's generally like 2 metres.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got the right block for it, it could be a very good solution as long as you pick one that is orientated in a way that suits your block. So you want your living and your kitchen and your main sort of living areas, you know, obviously taking advantage of a north aspect, northeast, northwest, around that end of the house. But, yeah, if you can find one that would suit your block, it's a perfectly fine option.
Yeah.
Because they are designed by designers.
Yes.
Okay. They haven't been specifically designed for your block, but you could be careful and pick the right one for. Mm. You could even get a designer to help you pick one if you needed to.
Oh, yes.
You know, you don't have to do this alone.
Fran can help you pick your block to make sure you've got the right aspect.
There's so many different options here. And look, what I like about volume built houses is a lot has been thought of. You know, they've built it more than once, so they've really nutted out a few common problems that can sometimes happen in custom designs, and just that they're affordable.
Mm.
You know, look, if you're at that stage of life where you're building the family home and you need lots of rooms and you need, you know, a good space for you guys, it could be a perfectly good option if you have the right block for it, you know. And the other thing is it's quite predictable. You know up front roughly what it's going to cost, and you can actually usually go and see it in person.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So you can go to the display homes and you can actually see, is this going to work for me? Mm. It's not just this conceptual design. You can actually physically go there and have an experience and do it. And, look, if you're going to build a home full stop, you definitely have to visit the display suites just for fun, even if it's not something that even if you're going down the custom path, take the kids out, spend a week looking at these display homes because it's a lot of fun. Like they have all the latest and brightest ideas are there.
Yes.
And, you know, they make it quite kid-friendly. They give you – sometimes you might get pencils or stickers or, you know, it's a lot of fun. You're missing out. You need to go.
I love going to display homes.
I know.
It's so fun.
It is. This is not sponsored by any
– No.
I'm just throwing it out there as an option. You don't have to necessarily, you know, go the custom route if it doesn't suit you.
Mm. My parents built through a volume builder.
Mm.
And their home's beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And they were able to There's a certain degree of customization that you can do with a volume builder. So you can still make it your own, but the bones of it are not custom, which is fine.
Yeah, absolutely. It just depends on the site. It depends on the design. And, you know, look, you build these homes, it's not necessarily the last chapter. You know, you're still going to get landscaped. You're still going to want to maybe get, you know, the feng shui sorted out, or you might want to do the interiors a bit, or whatever.
You might want to get Nadia in
Absolutely. And you probably have the money to do it because it's been that much cheaper to be able to. So, yeah, just putting it out there as an option.
I really like that, because we do talk a lot about custom builds on the show, but we are totally open to volume builds.
Yeah, we just like dream homes.
We do. We do. It's been a fun show tonight, hasn't it?
Actually. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
It has. Yeah. Franz, thanks so much again for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for asking me.
It's been a lot of fun. So,
and also, if anyone wants to talk homes bit more, we've got the Dream Home Movement Facebook page, but we also have the Building Dreams. We have the Building Dreams Facebook group, which is a local Facebook group where you can get on there and you can talk to other people who are either building or renovating or just into homes here on the Mornington Peninsula. It's a friendly community of idea sharing. If you're doing any renovating, if you just like homes and you want to discuss landscaping, renovating, building, get on there, connect with other locals and share ideas.
And that's a free group as well.
Yeah, free.
That you've set up, isn't it?
It's a passion of mine, and I set it up and people are coming. So yeah. Building Dreams, buildingdreams.morningtonpeninsula. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, on Facebook. Easy, just pop it in the search bar. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Thank you for choosing us and tuning in. We love spending Thursday evenings with you. If you would like to hear this show again or you've missed any of our previous shows, hop on to iTunes and you can listen to the podcast version of the show there. Look forward to chatting with you next week, and please do join in the conversation on Instagram and Facebook with us and let us know how your dream home projects are going. Bye.